Dave!
Steel Wagstaff.
Man, you look so fatherly tonight. I'm amazed. It's been a long time. Since the last time we talked to you, you made two other humans.
Yeah, quite quickly, apparently. But we got two little babies. They're about a month old now. Still, they're beautiful.
I'm so happy. Do you want to announce to the world their names?
Hounds Howard Jensen and Wren Hazel Jensen.
Towns and Wren. And what do the girls call them?
They call them what I call them. I call them Townser pretty frequently, and Wren is Wren Bird. I mean, it just makes sense. Still, what you do is you substitute Wrenbird in for Blackbird on the Beatles song, and you have a great lullaby.
Wow. And are you going to sing Pancho and Lefty for the old towns?
I sing If I Needed You.
Oh, man, that's a great one. You've got to figure it out, Dave. Life worth living.
Yeah, if you have less than five kids, I don't know what you're doing. I don't know what you're doing with your time. You're probably just twiddling your thumbs, watching reruns of The Cosby Show. You have too much time on your hands.
Yeah, speaking of too much time on their hands, we got an old friend, Dave, joining us as a guest on the show. She's been hanging out the last hour and a half trying to catch us.
I'm so excited. We have Amy Anderson. She's been our buddy for years. And who would have thought Detroit's in the Eastern time zone?
None of us, apparently.
So do you guys do daylight savings there, Amy, or no?
Yeah, we sure do.
Oh, weird. Okay, cool. Well, welcome to the podcast. You know, I was just looking at our notes, and the last time you were on was, I think, episode 5. Can you believe
that? Are you serious?
It was like a year ago.
That's insane. This is like an anniversary for all of us. How magical.
Have you been back to hell since we spoke with you last?
I think we were in hell this past fall, in fact. We took Felix there to just take in the new sights. He wore a Viking costume, and he got a free rubber duck that was shaped like a vampire. So, you know, hell's doing pretty good.
Nice.
It's just doing really good.
Though
one of the restaurants did shut down, so I don't know. Maybe it's not doing so well.
Health code violation?
Probably.
Well, speaking of unfortunate shutdowns, or meltdowns, if you will, tonight we wanted to start with talking about some epic meltdowns. It's been in the news lately, Dave. Jordan Spieth.
Did you see this still or watch it all? I didn't watch the Masters live. I'm not a golf man. It doesn't happen for me.
What would you guess?
I'd guess yes. You're glued to your television all weekend.
Yeah, I can't get enough Jim Nantz. I want to know where the green jacket's going to live for the next year.
But for our listeners, and probably for Amy, so he's leading the Masters, the biggest golf tournament in the world, and he's way ahead. 12th hole of the last round, Jordan Spieth just melts down. It's a par 3, so it's just a short hole, lots of water, and Jordan ends up getting 7 strokes on it and losing the Masters on that one hole.
It's like listening to a different language. I don't know what any of that meant, but it sounds stressful.
Yeah, it was probably was. Dave sent this link, and I was like, Jordan Spieth. I had to, like, Google it. I was like, who the hell is that? And why would I care about his epic meltdown? What's a hole?
I think, like, Amy, it'd be like, in your world, it's akin to writing, like, this excellent novel. You're 7/8 of the way through, and then the last 20 pages, you just write constant swear words or something. You just drop the ball.
No, what
it
is.
This is really putting it in perspective now for me.
No, Amy, you control A, hit delete, and it asks if you want to save changes, and you say yes. That's kind of what it's like. You're like, no.
Thanks for bringing it to my level, guys. It's really helpful.
So,
my only knowledge of golf is Happy Gilmore, so that's where I'm at.
Yeah, it's like Happy Gilmore, but ends badly.
Yeah.
You know, when I read this story and you were thinking about epic meltdowns, I think my only point of reference is every game of table tennis that I've ever held a lead in. Like, I'm not very good at table tennis. I'm okay. But, you know, I'll be playing like a 7-year-old, and I'm like, I'm up. 12-8, you know, and I've got the serve. I'm like, I just need to score three of these points. But something about it, I'll double fault on the next point. Before I know it, it's 15-13, and the 7-year-old's like, I'll play you again, and this time it's double or nothing. And then I'm walking home without a shirt on. I just cannot – I can't hold a lead in table tennis. I'm so bad at racket sports. And when it's just me in an individual sport and I've got the lead, I just fall to pieces. If it's a team sport, I'm fine, but I just can't – I can't close the deal.
The pressure is just too much.
Yeah, table tennis is intense.
You understand Jordan speaking.
I play table tennis in my garage all the time, and sometimes I would play table tennis by myself. You put the other side up so it's perpendicular to the thing.
You would have slaughtered me.
It was a really lonely way to live.
That might be the best option for you, but still, you can't. You're not going to choke if you're just playing yourself. It's going to be okay.
But I can just see that, Amy, when they make like the TV biopic of your life and they're showing the childhood scene, there's like a training montage and it's you going to your garage, folding up half of the table tennis and just whacking a bunch of serves, and you're in like jogging outfit with the sweatband on. And just,
I'm wearing cut off overalls in that for sure. Yeah, cut off overalls, massive flannel, playing solo table tennis in my garage. And next to the boxing bag thing.
And you're just muttering, placement, placement, Amy, placement.
Well, guys, if you want to really understand meltdowns, your children aren't three yet, but it's just everything. It's just like you're a second away from a meltdown at any moment. You don't even know what's about to happen. Like, you give them the purple fork, they want the green one, and things go south real quick. It's just meltdown city at my house. And some of the meltdowns are me. I'm like, it's just a green fork. Just take the fork.
So, like, do they have any timing to it? Do they do it in shifts, or are they all melting down at the same time? I mean, with three kids around the same age, I have to think that's probably not helpful.
Well, usually I think they'll kind of take turns. It'll be like 4 or 5 days. Mabel's like, I got it, guys. I'm melting down. All the time the next 4 or 5 days, and then she'll turn it over to Juniper or Elsie, and it's usually
tag team
once.
That's smart. Keep you on your toes. That sounds miserable.
It's awesome. Like, a 3-year-old meltdown's so good because you totally understand where they're coming from. Like, their world is they wanted this purple fork and you just destroyed their entire world. Yeah.
My favorite is when a 3-year-old just kind of face plants. Doesn't matter where. But like they just give up and just face plant into the ground. And you look at them and you say, I understand how you feel, because I've been there too. I just wish that I could sometimes be walking down the road, face plant. And just everyone just keeps going because, like, you just ignore it, right? You just ignore it. That's how you treat it.
But they're hurling themselves to the earth with, like, great dramatic force.
Oh, yeah.
I can't
It's the most amazing thing to witness.
It happens. We were just on a walk, and you know, I have three girls I have to keep track of on the walk, and Juniper just throws herself down. She's done. I want to ignore it, but we're in the middle of a walk. I don't know how I diffused it. I probably just gave in. I said, okay, I'm going to carry you.
We were dog sitting these two dogs, and one was really old. And in the middle of a walk, he just sat down, and then he laid down, and then he just refused to move. I mean, what do you do at that point? We just kind of sat there with him until he was ready to move on. But I felt like, you know, he's got things together. He knows what he needs.
You throw him on your shoulders, Amy. That's the move. You put him on your shoulders.
I think you just say, it was nice knowing you. Good night. And just keep going. You just do what you have to do, dog. We want you to go with dignity.
It's the humane way to do it.
But honestly, I feel bad for Jordan Spieth. Like, his epic meltdowns caught on national television, and three people that don't even watch golf are talking about it now. Like, my most embarrassing meltdowns, like, you know, maybe my wife and my kids saw it, but no one else will ever know.
I'll tell you who's still talking about my meltdowns. This Korean guy I used to tutor. Young Yun. That guy was He was so much better than me at table tennis. And he'd be like, after a tutoring session, be like, hey, you just want to play some table tennis to relax? And I'd go down the basement to play with him. And it wasn't relaxing at all. He was just crushing me. And then he's like, listen, Steele, it's so simple. And then he shows me his practice table. And you know those colored dots that people use to mark, like when they're studying, you'll mark like the corner of a book page and you'll fold it over?
Right.
He had probably 128 of those just laid out in various grids along the table. And he's like, simply just strike it at the intersection of the orange and the blue dot. Just aim for the – like he had the whole table marked out into grids. And he's just like practicing where he's aiming.
He was literally doing geometry.
Yeah, and he was just like, just hit it here. You just got to aim – you know, that's what I do to help my precision. And I was just like, well, that's clearly why you're beating me 15-1 every time.
It's pretty simple still. You just got to listen to your Korean man.
Yeah, it's easy. I don't know why you're not winning table tennis more often. Get yourself a practice grid. Get yourself some solo table tennis time. You're set.
Seriously.
You can overcome.
I have such weak mental fortitude. Well, let's speaking of mental fortitude, we got some quick hits. We've been without each other for a little while, Dave, and the stuff has just been piling up. I just keep posting stuff to your Facebook wall, emailing you, hoping I'll get a response saying, Dave, this is off the chain. And I know you've been storing up the good times, too.
I've missed you so much, Steele. There's something that's been very important to me the last week or two that I know you have no interest in. And so I love to share stuff with you that's really important to me that you don't care about at all.
Perfect.
But Amy might like this. Smoked meat. You're with me on smoked meat?
I love smoked meat. I can see why Steele wouldn't be into this, but I want to own a smoker.
Mm. See, I was on the internet today looking up smokers and looking up – because someone brought us a meal because we live in a tiny Mormon town and we have babies. And usually the meals are just like some type of casserole. But this family brought us over a huge thing of smoked pork. And it was the best thing that's ever happened to me.
And I hear it can cut the time with which it take you need to develop colon cancer like in half. So if you working on
that as a life goal. You immediately love to buy a smoker. Like I can see you just thinking like eating the smoked meat and then kind of looking at your future lined up with the future smoker you're going to own. And it's a beautiful future.
Well, cause
is it dented
times,
in blue, Amy?
So many times I've been eating, you know, some quantity of meat and thinking like, this is okay. But like, I knew something was wrong. Something was obviously missing. And like, now I understand what was wrong.
So Dave, this might surprise you, but we have in our family a smoker. Cedar gets smoked meat delivered to him weekly.
What?
I'm not joking. Yeah, Cedar's grandpa. Laurel's dad has a smoker, and he's, like, serious about smoking his meat. He's really good at it. And he even smokes cheese up for us sometimes. That's really good, too.
Awesome.
But he'll bring smoked meat for Cedar, because Cedar loves meat, and I don't cook it. And Laurel doesn't really know how to cook it anymore, either. We just heat up sausages for him, and, like, you can only take so much of that. So he'll smoke meat and bring it down for us, and it smells great, and Cedar just loves it. Tender.
Oh, my gosh.
That kid's living large. That's amazing.
Yeah, grandpa love.
He's got more things figured out than you do, Steele. He understands.
That's not a surprise. You knew that going into it.
How about you, Steele? You got anything
you've
been
on? He probably owe you at table tennis right this minute.
Seriously. And he's asleep. That's the sad part. He wouldn't even be returning any of my serves, and he'd still win. All right, Dave. Something that's kind of off the chain. I posted this for you, and I really wanted a response, but I guess you were busy with some kind of baby thing. There's a woman, I believe she's Australian, and she is a robot. She builds robots. Her name is Simone Giertz, and she has described herself as the queen of shitty robots. So she's got this minute-long video of this robot that she's built that just does things terribly. It just does everything, but does it amazingly poorly. So she's sitting there, and this robotic arm is applying lipstick, but just like smearing it all over her face. And then it's chopping food, but it's just hacking everything to hell. And like, then she's got a hand that flips over and over to wake her up when the alarm goes off, and it breaks all of her cereal in the morning. And I mean, it's just, it's an amazingly terrible robot. And I just thought, This is perfect because she's a genius. Everybody's always posting these like short viral videos about how they built some robot to do some menial task and they're so proud of it. She's built some robot to make fun of doing menial tasks by doing them really, really poorly. And I just love it so much.
I
love her clapping one, and at the end of the video, it's a one-handed clapper. Like it, she took off the other hand, so it's just like clapping by itself.
The
It was
sound of
so
one hand
funny.
clapping.
It was.
I'm watching The Breakfast Machine right now, and it's fantastic. And it makes me
I
even
love that she just
happier.
sits there, all cool.
Yeah, she's a scientist. Scientist of my heart.
And oh geez, in relation to another quick hit, she is definitely reading an epic fantasy book in this video.
Is it The Hobbit?
Like Harry Potter, isn't it?
I don't know. It's like 800 pages in this paperback with like ornate lettering on the title. So Dave was like, "Oh man, I can't wait to talk about epic fantasy." Ah!
It's all I've been reading lately. I was reading the one of the Game of Thrones books actually during a work break today,
Dave,
Steele.
you're doing
And
it.
aren't those longer than the Bible?
Yes, and better.
Way longer. Yeah, more
Better.
affecting of your life, certainly. I read the one today I read about the Red Wedding, Steele. You remember what I'm talking about?
Yes, my coworker is just about to get to that. He's just about, God, I can't wait to talk to him about it.
I put it down. I had to go for a walk. I had to take a breather. I was making multiple phone calls. I wanted to talk to somebody about it. But fantasy is just, it's so good. I don't know why I would ever read anything else.
So, Dave, what was the first fantasy book that you read?
Steele, you are the one, that's your fault.
No,
It was a
it can't be
Brandon
true.
Sanderson book that you assigned me to read. I never read fantasy. I was like, fantasy's for nerds. And then you assigned me to read Brandon Sanderson, and it's all I've read. I tried to like mix other books in, just like, like this is my homework assignment. And then I finish it, and then like, let's read seven more 800-page fantasy books. I'm ready.
We just discovered Brandon Sanderson too because Warren's been reading Maphead, that Ken Jennings book, and he was
Oh,
roommates
cool.
with him, which is kind of awesome. So
Whoa.
we read The Arithmetist. Have you guys read The Arithmetist?
No.
It's the Brandon Sanderson that's like Harry Potter but with math.
Ooh.
Super good. It's legitimately good. And there's Chalk. It's like chalk battles. I don't understand how he makes it interesting, but it's really, really good. I didn't like, did you read the ones about epics?
I've read all his Mistborn ones, and I've read his Stormlight ones. Everyone I've
I
read
mean,
so
even
far is
the
so
names of
good.
these alone are just ridiculous, right? Storm?
Yeah.
Is that what it was
Stormlight? Yeah, like it.
called?
And you look at a picture of him, and he looks exactly like you think he would. And but they're amazing. Like he builds these huge worlds that are just super complex, and he knows all the details. He knows everything, and so he just kind of casually talks about stuff, but you understand that he understands everything about this world, even if he's just telling you a little bit. And then you try and explain it to your wife, and she doesn't care.
Yeah. He actually wrote this thing called like Rules of Magic or something. So he explains how he creates his universes, which I can't remember any of the actual things he said, but reading it, I was like, oh yeah, that makes total sense. And I don't know why I read fantasy these days either, guys, but I literally only read fantasy or James Patterson books.
Okay,
I
now
can't name another book I've
you
read
gotta
that
talk a
isn't
little
Brandon
bit more
Sanderson or
about
James
this love of
Patterson.
James Patterson, please. Because I
I
just associate him with
don't
like.
even know. He is so bad, but so good. So we are obsessed with the Private series.
Yeah.
It's about this like hard-hitting war vet who becomes a really rich, really, really rich private investigator, and he opens firms around the world. So there'll be like Private India, and there's a happening in India that they have to solve. Private Vegas. They're so bad, guys, but I can't stop reading them. I think I've read every single Private series, every single book in that series.
So, does James Patterson write any books, or is it just a, is he the brand name?
No.
It's a
No,
franchise.
it's like James Patterson with another author, but it's clearly the other author who wrote the
It's
entire
like
book.
brought to you by James Patterson.
Right,
So
exactly. And
cool.
I think I like him because it has a Jason Bourne feel, which, by the way, the new Jason Bourne movie's coming out. I just wanted to drop that in there somewhere. And so
What the?
maybe that's why I like it so much.
That's good. My mom and I read all the Jason Bourne, all the Robert Ludlum books when I was in high school.
Together, out loud.
Yeah. Well, I was still while I was breastfeeding.
Right.
That was
So
my
nothing
nursing.
bonds a son to his mother like, reading that while breastfeeding.
Yeah, it's so true. Yeah, high school, it's tough enough to get through. You got to have something to read.
What makes me so happy, Amy, is, 10 years ago when we were actually friends in close proximity, and you'd recommend like literature to me, like these
Oh
heady,
yeah.
like
I was
excellently
all about
well-written
literature
books.
back then.
And now it's fantasy and James Patterson. And I'm with you at least on fantasy.
Like
I won't
it's a
leave that
change for
genre.
the better, honestly.
Yeah, how the mighty have fallen, that's what I have to say. But I want to know, Amy, about the thing I can't stop thinking about is the taco copter that you were talking about last time
A good,
that just delivers
right.
food from
And
heaven.
it's like the paradise that we all want but we'll never have. But so have you guys seen this thing? They're now making these drones that will snatch other drones out of the sky. So I don't know much about Game of Thrones, but I feel like it's a taco copter Game of Thrones happening with the drones snatching drones out of the sky.
This sounds like people
And
building birds of prey to eat our sparrows and songbirds.
that's exactly what's happening. No more burritos for anyone.
So, is it because they want to catch the thing that are being delivered, or just want to ruin people's joy, or what's the idea?
Think it's a little bit of all of that. I honestly don't really know why they're doing it, but they are.
You
And
guys don't
so.
understand because you don't live in small town America. But people are afraid of drones and afraid of what they can see. And so people, like, they hate drones in small town America. We hate drones because they're going to look in our backyard and they don't need to be back there.
I mean, good point.
The link that you posted for us, Amy, my favorite part was the name of the doctor who's leading this project. And I know we're not supposed to talk about names on this episode, but Dr. Mo Raskar with double A's. That guy, I'd trust him to shoot down a drone.
Easily. It's what he was born to do with a
Yeah.
name like that.
I think he's in the private series, pretty sure.
Yeah. At least one of the books.
We
I'm
often do
very
expert
excited.
testimony, and I think this is probably fitting. This is going to be an honorary expert testimony. Amy, 9 months ago, your life changed forever.
It
Dave.
sure did. Not as much as Dave's, because I don't have five of them now.
Yeah, but Dave did almost zero of the work. So I mean, his wife's heroic and amazing, but he just sort of stands around and watches her birth these babies. We're going to talk about infants, children, and they're off the chain, and we got a ton of topics to cover. So let's just jump right in with the thing everybody's dying to know: how do you give your baby the life-sustaining nutrients it needs? Do you go with the old-fashioned breastfeeding method, or do you deliver it via the more modern bottle?
We did all of the above, Steele, because why not? We're modern people.
Yeah.
So yeah, we did, or I breastfed him, and then I also went back to work, so I had a pump, which we were talking about is the worst thing ever invented. It's kind of great because then your child gets your milk, but it's also horrendous. Those machines, they're just horrible. They're horrible to look out. They're really loud. And so I would go into my pumping room at work, and you could still hear the pump outside of the room, and it has like noise canceling walls and things like that. And it was just so loud, and it just made me depressed every time I was in there. But yeah, so that's how I gave my baby his food. He just eats so much food, though. Like that's all he does is eat. I don't know if that's normal for children, but he doesn't stop eating. That's all he does.
Our son's like the opposite. That's the biggest. We've just been trying to get him to eat since he was born, but he does
But
a
he
little
eats
bit now.
smoked meat, so
Yeah,
that's amazing.
that was missing from his diet.
You needed to introduce the smoker.
Yeah.
Well, as far as pumping, I just don't think nipples should ever have a scab on them. And pumping can
No.
introduce a scab to a nipple, and that seems
It's
like the
just a
worst thing.
bad way to live. It's
Now,
just not normal.
Dave.
Wait, so Dave, I am curious about multiples. How do you guys do it?
Oh my goodness. Both times we've had Ariane's wanted to breastfeed, and she has at least for some amount of time. And then when we had the triplets and she stopped breastfeeding and we just went to bottles, like suddenly our life got good. And this time she's been breastfeeding for the first month. It's just not manageable with five kids and breastfeeding
No.
two of them. So she's weaning them to the bottle. And I should be more supportive of breastfeeding. It's great. Yeah, antibodies and all that stuff. But I just want to feed them a bottle. It's so much better for me.
You gotta just keep your head above water, man. You do what you gotta do.
Dave was telling me
It
about
is weird.
this.
I knew that there was like angst over the breastfeeding versus bottle before having a kid, but it's really come into high contrast since having. I just didn't know people felt so passionately about things. I don't understand it, honestly. Like they're like really mean on both sides.
Yeah, there's nothing that brings out the best in people like debates about parenting. It's just
Right.
really.
And there's an article like every week on Yahoo or some site. It's some woman that's been kicked out of a store because she was breastfeeding. Yeah, I think breastfeeding's great. I support it. That's great. I'm just so glad that Ariane's not going to breastfeed these twins anymore. It makes me so happy.
Well, we covered that
Also must
topic.
be kind of nice to help feed your child, right?
And that is cool. I think I'm a lot more involved in like the daily care for my babies than some other people because I have to be.
Right.
My triplets, I fed them, almost as much as Ariane did.
You bond with them. The feeding experience is an intimate bond. Yeah.
I will say I did like breastfeeding because Warren would just kind of like wait on me. So if I needed snacks or anything, he was just like, boom, granola bar right there. That's really nice.
Would you ever
This
kind of milk it
leads.
by being like, honey, I'm feeling a little low on energy. I don't know if I'm going to have enough milk for the baby. Can you do this elaborate thing for me?
Oh yeah, that's how I got him to make me homemade oatmeal chocolate chip cookies one time. Was
My milk's feeling low, but I read this thing that oatmeal chocolate chip somehow boosted production.
This is exactly the argument I used.
Science,
Worked
honey. It's
like
a science.
a charm.
I think this leads into a topic that I have questions to you guys about.
Yes.
Middle of the night, breast or bottle feeding, what are you doing? Are you staring blankly at the wall or are you engaged somehow in something?
Guys, this is when I turn to my BFF Netflix. I don't know how many hours I logged in on Netflix during those night feedings, but I did get through the entire like five seasons of Pretty Little Liars, plus Vampire Diaries, plus like I don't like every terrible show that's on television I watched during those late night feedings. It was amazing. I don't,
That's amazing.
you guys know what Pretty Little Liars is because I think you should watch an episode just to see how horrible it is and to understand what I put myself through for 8 months or however long it was.
That's a tall ask, Amy. I promised Dave that I was going to watch three Vin Diesel movies, and that's about all I can do for this year. Come back at me in
Come on, Steel
2017, and
Vin Diesel. He's so good.
it's true. We're going to talk about this in a future episode. I've already watched two of his films this year, Amy.
We're
I
going to
like that you
devote
call them films.
I've
Of course.
doubled
I
our
think Vin
total.
Diesel would like that too.
Yeah.
Before, when we had the triplets, I remember I got very spiritual. I read religious texts just like nonstop, and like my spirituality was just through the roof. This time, I've been watching just really bad TV on Netflix. Just The Flash. Have you guys seen this?
And the Arrow, do you watch Arrow?
I'm gonna have to, apparently.
You
They're
have
kind of
to.
interconnected. But he's like, I've enjoyed it so far, but he's got the weakest chin I've ever seen for a superhero. It's like me being a superhero. He's got this little elf chin, and I'm supposed to buy him as a superhero. And I guess I am.
He's
I've
super
watched five
fast.
episodes. Yeah, he's very fast. Did you do nighttime feeding for Cedar, or
Yeah,
was that a
absolutely, Dave.
wiper?
I think we've talked about this a little bit, but Cedar wasn't able to breastfeed for like the first 9 months of his life, and so
Yeah.
we fed him a lot at night. And when he was very, very young, and we were real worried about him, what we had to do was pinky. He would suck the pinky, and there was a little tube that we would lead out of the bottle of milk, and put it next to our pinky, and so he had to be sucking the pinky, but he'd also be sucking the milk. And in that phase of his life, I watched the first like 3.5 seasons of Friday Night Lights.
Oh, yeah, great.
That's great. You probably sobbed so much feeding your baby, listening to Coach Taylor. I can only imagine the emotional maelstrom you were experiencing.
Yeah, it was cool. It would be like those 2 a.m. feedings. And then for some reason, as soon as he stopped doing that bottle method, the thing was our attention was so focused on helping him get the milk because Cedar was in this situation where he would only take the bottle right as he was falling asleep or right after he had fallen asleep. There's this super narrow window in which it could work, and we had to be like total concentration on the act, no extraneous noise, no other distraction. Like if something disrupted him, he was very like responsive to noise. He would buck and turn, and he just wouldn't take the bottle. So, I think at that point it was like that was the only thing that mattered, and then no more fun.
Did you ever finish Friday Night Lights?
No, I haven't. I'm like 3.5 seasons in, and it was great. But what's his name? The backup quarterback hasn't even
Saracen.
Yeah, Saracen.
Saracen.
Saracen and Coach Taylor's daughter, I think, are still dating. That's how.
Oh, and what's his
name? What's his name's about to go to the Rugby Olympics or whatever it's called.
I never liked that guy.
Yeah, that guy sucks.
He's on Heart of Dixie, which I also watched while I was doing night feeding.
It's interesting. Like I watched Friday Night Lights when my girls were infants. I totally associate that with having tiny babies. Coach Taylor. There's got to be an infant in my arms to watch that.
Yeah. Well, Dave, bring it back, man.
I know. I can't. I dislike that one quarterback so much. I don't know if I can watch it again. And his girlfriend, Layla, or whatever her name was.
Yeah.
Come on, Layla.
Was that her name? She's the worst.
Issues,
what
yeah.
about Riggins, though, Dave? I know you got a soft spot for Riggins.
He's so dreamy.
Yeah, he is.
He's so handsome. I'm going to grow my hair out to look just like him right now.
I feel like if we had known Riggins at BYU, you would have, like, basically quit going to class, done everything you could to just follow Tim Riggins around, Dave, and been like, this guy's my big brother. I'm Tim Riggins' little brother. And you would have, like, just coincidentally worn the same clothes as him all the time. Be like, oh, hey, Tim, well, since we're dressed like twins, why don't we just walk around together? You can introduce me to all your friends.
I would have been too afraid to ever. I would have thought, like, that guy's the coolest guy ever. I wish I could be friends with him, but it wouldn't have happened. I ended up being friends with you guys.
You did.
It'd be a bromance from afar.
So, babies can read. My baby can read, Dave. You put this in the list of discussing. What's going on with that? Babies can't read.
No, this is a fantastic program that you really want to look into. You can teach your baby to read. And we, in my old church in Mesa, someone gave us a book to teach our babies to read. And he was trying to explain it.
You have to use the book to teach the baby to read?
Yeah. No,
I thought it was a series of DVDs that teaches him to read. That's the product that I saw.
Yeah, this
is hilarious.
The introductory book so that you buy the DVDs. And the guy was explaining it to me, and I was just like, I got to go. And he explained it to Ariane for the next 30 minutes. And
was that the closest you guys ever came to divorce?
I was pretty good at that. If there's ever someone that's talking to me that I gotta get away from, that's something I learned.
You know how to foist them onto your wife real well, huh?
Yeah. So I got. Oh, sorry.
The worst. It's horrible.
Okay, so when you mentioned my baby can read, I was like, this can't be real. So I look it up, and I go to consumeraffairs.com and read these reviews of My Baby Can Read, and it's one of those products. I think this must be the case for like every baby-related product. There are two options for how you review a baby-related product. It is either 0 stars or it is 5 stars, and there is no middle ground. And it's basically just a flame war for like true believers and the people who are like convinced that this thing is the worst and it will kill your children and it's what's ruining America. And My Baby Can Read is an amazing place to see these fights play out. I was so impressed.
And just for the record, it is the worst and it is trying to ruin America. So don't do it.
Okay, next question. So I don't know who asked this one, but I'm so curious. Do you use a baby voice to talk to your children?
I asked it because it's very interesting.
It's so interesting.
I don't feel like I do, but then like we'll watch a video. I'll show my girls a video of when they're like 4 months old and wiggling on the ground, and I'll hear my voice like, "Who the hell is that guy? Why is he talking like
Like easily a couple octaves above your own.
I bet it would be the same thing, Dave, if we watch videos of ourselves as missionaries. I bet our baby voice is our missionary voice.
I hope my missionary voice is way more soothing than that. I don't even want to try and like give you an example of my baby voice. I don't
No, but
want
Dave,
to.
you brought it up. You got to do it.
You got
No,
to. Let's hear it.
okay.
No,
I'll
what?
be I'll be Towns, and you be Renbird.
No, this question's. I posed the question, what's your guys' answers?
I think I totally use baby talk, but totally unintentionally. Like, I think I'm having a conversation with my kid, and then, yeah, you look at the videos, and it's just this squeaky little mouse person just going, Oh, my goodness, look at you! Like, so gaspy, and it's just so horrible. But they say babies, you know, they like that high-pitched noise sound that comes out of your mouth when you do that, so why not?
Yeah, like research says it's supposed to actually be like good. It's interesting that it's like instinctual that I'm talking to my baby like that. And it's supposed to be like a really positive thing for the babies.
I'm sure. I think for me, what I do is I just, I can be a little bit hyper positive and tense. It's like that times 10 with the kids. I'm like a super happy drug fiend. So that's gotta be cool. Yeah, I'm just like, oh yeah, everything's amazing. I'm like an Andrew WK song, basically.
Is there that underlying tone of desperation as well, then?
I mean, I'm a parent, so I would say so. It's like, I haven't slept in 8 days. Doesn't matter. Wow, life is awesome. No cracks, no cracks. I'm doing good. So that's how I talk to my children.
So yes, you do baby voices. You have to.
Yeah, you've got to.
Oh,
It's like, how
what's
you feel?
awesome is
it's
now my
actually kind of
girl.
creepy when you see people just like having normal voices with babies. I guess I
Well,
haven't
you're like,
often, but
what? Do you
it's like
expect them to
it's a
understand?
baby, dude. Like, it's a baby.
Oh man, that'd be super amazing to have someone like having a rational discussion with an infant that doesn't respond. That's good. That's good. Strangers in your baby, Dave. What's this topic about?
So I wanted to ask you guys about this because my experience with strangers and my babies is, I think, probably different because my babies are typically like a spectacle. And so the stranger wants to be like, hey, whoa, look at these babies, and want to touch them and ask like impertinent, like weird questions about them and say stuff that's mildly offensive. And strangers are always talking to me about my babies, and I don't like to do it. I'm real introverted.
Have you thought about getting the shirts that say, like, we don't talk about this, or I hate you, or any number of things like that?
Well, I don't want to be a jerk because the other thing that is the like it's great if they're excited. Like it is really exciting. Like babies are so cool, and when it's a lot of babies, I don't want to like totally come down on them and be like, "Hey, shut up! These are my babies. Get out of here!" Like I want them to be happy, and that's fine if they're smiling. But no, I don't want them to ask me, "Are they natural?" Like, what does that mean? Like, think about that question for just half a second. Or like they always said, "Better you than me." And I started after a while. I was like, "Yes, it is better that it's me. I love these children."
It's kind of like the super invasive questions people asked when I was pregnant and like always like groping. And you're just like, okay. I mean, I guess this is normal, but it's still kind of creepy.
Yeah, people they just would like touch your belly, Amy. Just go for
Yeah, they just like grope you and you're like, guys, hands off, you know? But it's too tempting for people, I guess. When you were standing next to your wives when they were pregnant, people to just come up and squeeze your abs.
My abs?
Yeah,
See,
just for
well,
solidarity. No,
yeah, it
it
was.
never happens to you guys. Never.
But the thing is, Amy, I wore a ton of crop tops when Laurel was pregnant, so it
Right.
happened a fair amount.
Naturally, the mesh ones, right?
Yes. Hard Rock
Yeah, you've got
Cafe,
a
mostly.
washboard abs. Of course, people are just going to go touch them. If they're out there, people are going to touch.
Yeah.
But do
There's
strangers come up and talk to you guys about your babies? Is that like a regular occurrence?
I think it happens more often when Warren's out with our boy. I
Yeah.
think it's kind of weird for people to see dads and their kids in this area. I don't know why. Because they're always coming up to them and talking and asking weird questions. And when I'm out with my kid, it's like just everyone ignores us. I don't know if it's a dad
That's how it
thing or.
should be. That's how it should be.
So this is hilarious to me, guys, because I think I might be the stranger that you guys hate. I'm out with theater. I'll talk to anybody. I start the conversations. I don't wait for strangers to approach me. I'm like, "Hey guys, what's happening? Me and my son are out. What are you guys doing? Oh, you at the going to the grocery store? Which grocery store? Cool. We've been
Can we
there.
come too? Can we
Yeah.
come?
You guys got room? Car seat? It's okay. I'll hold him in my lap. Could we be back by noon? So yeah, that's my parenting style. Just always up for adventure. If you see someone, say something, you know?
You're the stranger. It's you.
I'm not asking them
If we were
questions about
all like you,
themselves.
it'd be better.
I'm mostly just volunteering details about our lives, so.
So this is another a question area that I have for you guys,
Yeah.
because a little different experience. So baby equipment, what did you guys get? What did you feel like you had to get? What was actually helpful? Like if you go in like a triplet Facebook group or a triplet blog, they list like 300 things you have to have in order to survive, and it like they would fill my entire house up with just baby equipment.
I
I
have
think that's
strong
what the
feelings
baby
about this.
manufacturers want. They just want your houses to transform into like baby lands, little mini baby lands.
Don't do it if you're listening to this podcast and you have the choice. Don't do it.
That's true. Because it's amazing how much crap you get without any control. Like we woke up and we had a box of toys. Where did
Yeah.
the We don't remember ever getting them, but we have a giant box of them.
Right. It's so we bought almost nothing, and we still have to this day bought very little, and we have tons of stuff. It just happens. Like the things that are important to buy, I think, are transportation equipment to move your baby from places to place. That's about the only thing that's worth buying. So when they're real little, it's nice to have a carrier so that you can wear them on your body, like a wearable of some kind. It's
Sure.
good to have a high quality stroller so that you can walk outdoors and have them not strapped to you and have them out and enjoying stuff and seeing things. And it's great if you have a car to have a car seat. Those are the three things that we paid money for.
You actually have to have a car seat, not just great,
Yeah,
like
they don't let
you
you
get the
leave
car
without
seat.
one,
If you have a car, Dave, that was the conditional.
right?
Not.
I would say I full-heartedly agree with you, Steele. Those were the things we got. Also a crib.
Yeah,
But some
again.
people just have their kids sleep on a mattress on the floor,
That's what we
which,
did.
you know.
Yeah, like a urine-soaked mattress on the floor.
Well, it didn't start that way, but at the end of most nights it was. The definition of being an infant. They just poor bladder control.
Really do.
I agree with that.
That they have poor
People
bladder
and
control?
manufacturers, infants have poor bladder control, and you don't need tons
Hot
of
takes.
equipment.
It's a
They're
controversial
also
position
gonna.
to take, Dave, especially as a respected member of the nursing profession.
They're also gonna have loose bowels occasionally. They're gonna poop.
Dude, they poop so much and so much weird stuff.
You sound a bit traumatized about this, Amy. Anything? This
I
will be a
like.
listening session. We're just gonna turn the
Yeah,
mics off. Let's
I
just
just had no
listen.
idea the quantities, the varieties, and it was a little bit scarring. You know, they have that really black, tarry meconium in the beginning, right? And then it progresses to that seedy, weird stuff. Just these are things I did not know about babies before having one. So every time we would open his diaper, it's like a whole new adventure, a whole new world in
Did
there.
you feel
And
some level of disgust about this? That's the tone of voice I'm hearing.
It was both disgust and fascination that this stuff could come out of him. And so much of it. Like, I felt like our lives were just ruled by, like, what kind of poop was it this time? Is this normal? So my question every time was, is this normal? And of course, I had to Google it
Oh yeah,
because
good choice.
that's what you do, right? Don't ever Google baby poop. It's just a rabbit hole you don't want to go down. But I went down it pretty far, actually. And yeah, I would say I'm sufficiently traumatized from the baby poop situation.
You know what I think would be a really, really good invention? It would be a search engine only for parenting questions, where it automatically filters out 99% of the internet and only
Like
takes you
all the
to.
Yahoo answers,
Oh my goodness.
those Yahoo answer forums.
Those are like in the top third of quality for parenting blogs as well. Like, I read the comments and the questions that people are asking, and it's like seriously worry that the birth rate is like really, really high and that 3 million babies die every year from parental idiocy. Like, I'm like, how do these infants survive? Are these parents real? It makes me feel like there's like a whole industry of internet trolls that are just making fake stuff up about their like, what's the worst, craziest sounding thing I could say online about my child? Like, some parents like, my baby feels really hot to the touch and blood is coming out of their nose. They haven't been breathing for the last couple hours. I'm kind of scared of doctors, though. Should I call one? And you're like, yes. And then someone will post like, yes, do it immediately. They're like, well, I'll wait and see. Thanks for your opinion. Ha ha ha. Smiley face.
Oh, for the poop, if there's blood in the poop, take him to the doctor. Otherwise, like, yeah, you're okay. But I like the question you posted up here, Steele. Where's my baby's penis?
Yeah, okay, this is something that's Laurel and I would read the parenting book, and so one of the things we remember reading was about male babies. Sometimes your baby is so fat that you can lose their penis. If you don't see their penis, don't worry about it. It didn't fall off. It's just probably lost in a fat roll. And we laugh so hard at this. We're like, this can't be real. But we thought it was amazing because it was published in this otherwise sober sounding medical book. So I Googled it. And the first relevant result is a forum from this website, What to Expect. And the question is, where's my baby's penis? And then it's pages and pages of parents wondering where their baby's penis went.
My favorite response is someone chimed in like, "Well, my 2-year-old's penis is huge."
I have the opposite worry. Like, how is that helpful? All these parents are worried that their son's penis fell off. The other parent just comes out to say, that's what makes me feel like these aren't real people. It's just like 17-year-old teenagers that think it's hilarious to comment on mom blogs. That's got to be what it is. If I was a teenager again, I would just love going on mom blogs and just saying crazy stuff and seeing what kind of havoc I could cause. It
So
would be
you're both
so
the
funny.
stranger that comes up to babies and the creepy internet troll.
Yes. Posting misleading internet mom advice.
More than a few times in my nursing career, I ran into this Steele buried penis syndrome. It's
It's a syndrome.
BPS.
I don't even want to joke about it, honestly. It's like, yeah. I have to tell you a story, but
So,
you
Dave,
don't
how fat are these children that this is happening, that this syndrome is striking them? Like, are they obese or are they just kind of like pleasantly chunky?
No, what I've seen it the most in is actually full-grown adult men.
Oh, well.
What?
See, the
That
crazy
is
thing,
not
Andy.
as funny as the babies.
Yeah, somehow that's less funny, Dave. That's weird.
It's terribly sad.
This is, Amy, this is the thing. Dave carries a lot of darkness in him. Every time we mention some like horrific thing that we can only imagine, us regular like mortals, he's like, "Yeah, I got 3 or 4 stories about that.
Yeah.
Maybe I probably can't tell you any of them. Like, You could imagine someone like dying of the most horrific thing, and Dave's like, "Yeah, that's not that bad. Something else happened. Let me tell you this story from work."
But let's go back to babies. I'm sorry. Let's
So,
do it.
last question on babies.
Yes.
Amy, I think you asked this question, probably the greatest question to end on. What are some prominent lies that people told you about babies and kids that you feel bitter about now?
I can't even remember anything super specific, but I just feel like people told me so many things. The most, goes back to the poop traumatized one, but they're like, oh, breastfed babies, don't worry about it. Their poop smells good. And you get in there and you're like,
No.
well, I mean, no, it smells like poop. But so I just didn't understand why, where they got that. Were they so enamored with their baby that they're like, oh, he's pooping roses? Or I just don't know.
That's
It
some
was a
strong
lie.
mother
It
love.
was false. And multiple people told me that. Multiple.
That's
So
the
that was one lie someone told me. Do you guys remember anything people told you?
I think that's part of the breastfeeding conspiracy. That's the pro-breastfeeding camp is spreading these
It
misinformation, these
smells
lies.
good.
Yeah. I just remember people talking about how babies are so wonderful that you're gonna love them more than you've ever loved anything, and the first 6 months treasure it because it doesn't get any better. And it was extraordinary. Like, having a baby is wonderful, but the first 6 months aren't the best. Babies get really, 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 really cool and great once they start to speak, and once they can move, and once they have a will. Like, they're sweet, and they're these precious, vulnerable beings, but they can't do anything for the first 6 months. They're just like lumps that require you and require your love. So they're interesting if you want a doll that you can love, but if you want like a being as part of your family that like you can interact with, it's not the first 6 months. They get better as they age, I think. That's been my experience so far.
Yeah, I remember someone else telling me, oh, it all gets better after 6 weeks. And, 6 weeks hits, and I'm like, it's not all better.
Oh, it really isn't.
It's still, baseline terrible. But I also don't like newborns. So that's just, my own personal experience. Once he hit 4 months, I was like, this kid's the coolest. But those first 3 months were the worst.
It's all good. Hopefully I haven't shared this before, but my favorite, I guess was a piece of advice I was given. I bought a stroller from this guy that had triplets, and like before he let me go, he's like, I got something to tell you. Like, he was like leveling with me, like, this is what you need to know about triplet babies. And he's like, we hired a night nurse to feed the babies overnight, and it was just a lifesaver. You have to do this. You need to hire someone to feed your babies overnight. And I was like, okay, what'd you pay this person? He's like, we paid her about $20 an hour.
Oh.
He wanted me to hand my entire salary over to this night nurse, but you don't need a night nurse. You can do it without one.
But you bottle propped Dave, and that ruined him for life, right?
Yeah, that's why they're melting down all the time now.
Yeah. You can always tell a bottle
Planting
propped baby.
it in
All right, we've beaten that parenting horse to death, but it's just endlessly fascinating for those of us with kids and not at all interesting for those of us without them. So, assigned reading. This is a great little segment where we just give each other short reading assignments and talk about stuff we read recently that we think each other will like. An assigned reading segment is what started Dave on his lifelong pursuit of the perfect fantasy novel. And so I thought
Thank you.
we'd
Thank you,
revisit this
assigned
here.
reading. Amy, you have a child, and I have children, and I love children's books. We've talked about it a little bit before, and I have a few I wrote down here, but I think I want to recommend one for it. I don't know if you've ever read this one, Harry and the Lady Next Door.
I haven't. What's a brief synopsis?
It is
It's a murder
high
mystery.
comedy.
Doesn't end well for the lady
Wait, is this
next
James
door.
Patterson for children? Because I'm
Yeah,
in.
it's totally James Patterson. Harry is super creepy. They call him Harry because his body's just covered in hair.
It is covered in hair, but that is because he's a dog, and he's a delightful animal. And the lady next door loves to sing, and her singing voice is the worst, and it torments Harry. He can't handle it. So the whole book is just high comedy of Harry like trying to somehow make this woman stop singing. And it's from like the 60s. It's so good.
That
All right.
sounds fantastic. I have to check that out.
Second recommendation, Dave. Children's book number two for Amy. If she gets through Harry and the Lady Next Door, you got another one for her.
If she can crank through that one, I got two more actually. Sam and Dave Dig a Hole by
This one's
Mac
also really dark. They gotta bury a body.
Are you serious?
Yeah, but I mean, it's fun. I mean, kids got to learn about death somehow.
Sure.
It's a grim, grim book. And they
But the
murder their
illustrations
father.
are lifelike.
No, it's a delightful book. Mac Barnett, awesome children's book author. Everything I've read by him is very funny. But Sam and Dave just decide to dig a hole because they're looking for something awesome. And I don't want to ruin the surprise,
Okay.
but they just keep narrowly missing awesome, awesome stuff. And it makes my girls so happy. I'm like, wait, no, it's right there.
Oh man, I love that kind of stuff. All right, Dave, book number three for Amy. What's the third one?
Okay, this one's called Sebastian and the Balloon, by Philip Steed. You may have seen he did, darn it, the one with the sick Amos and the animals from the
Right.
zoo visit him. A Sick Day for Amos McGee. This one he actually illustrates, and his illustrations aren't as good as his wife's because she illustrates that book, but it's just kind of a delightful story. Sebastian gets in a balloon and just goes on an adorable adventure. It makes me
That
so
sounds
happy.
wonderful.
Amy, you've got a recommendation for Dave. Now that he's given you some children's books, you got anything
Right,
in that
so going
genre
back
he's
to
into?
actual literature, that's sort of depressing.
Nice.
I mentioned it earlier in the podcast, but Station 11 by Emily St. John Mandel. It's post-apocalyptic, so a big flu epidemic hits the world, and then it takes place 20 years after the epidemic has pretty much wiped out civilization. So you don't get any of the Walking Dead, like the world is horrible and there's all this violence. It's kind of after that, so it's civilization rebuilding itself, and it centers around the story of this troupe, a traveling Shakespeare performance group, and they kind of go town to town like they did in Shakespeare's day, presenting all these plays, and just the intertwining stories about how the epidemic started and then the lives afterwards. It's really, really good. It reminds me a lot of Cormac McCarthy's The Road. Have you guys read that?
Oh yeah. Dave, that was one
Yeah,
of the
that's
assigned
like one of
readings
my
from Dave
favorite
to
books.
me that I never read, and we talked about it for like a whole episode once.
It's super. So, and she was actually influenced a little bit by that book, but super, super good. I loved it. And then the book for you, Steele, is the book that I'll share at the end of the episode too. It's called When Breath Becomes Air. Oh, it was so fantastic. So he's a guy who he's a neurosurgeon from Stanford, and he finds out that he's dying of an extremely aggressive lung cancer. And it's just the thoughts that he documents in the last year of his life. And it is one of the most beautiful books I've read recently. I literally could not, like, I read it in a single sitting. I just could not
Wow.
stop reading. He's so wise, and his attitude is just, it was just amazing to sort of read where he's coming from and how his whole perspective about life is. And then also hearing the people who wrote his foreword and afterward, his wife wrote his afterward, and another gentleman wrote the foreword, and just hearing their experiences with this man, you know that he's just such a good soul. And the book, it's just beautiful,
Okay.
beautiful, beautiful stuff.
I'm into it. I'm going to read that soon. Amy, I've got a book for you. I don't know if you've read this. H is for Hawk. Okay. I just started it recently. It's amazing. It's the best memoir I've read in a long, long time. So it's an English woman. Her name is Helen MacDonald. And the book's about a bunch of different things. It's about the death of her father and grief over that. It's about the English novelist T.H. White, who wrote The Once and Future King. That's an Arthurian novel. He also wrote a book about hawking, about raising hawks. And he was also a sadist who derived like sexual pleasure from violence. And so she's intertwining this story and the love of hawking and her father. And she decides, as part of her grief over her father's death, she's going to train a hawk, essentially. She's been in love with hawks since she's little and had this relationship with hawks. And it's like Annie Dillard, but almost better.
Oh, I'm so excited. That sounds amazing.
It's stunning. I'm not describing it very well, but I read the first chapter and it was like gorgeous, lyrical, incredible writing, great insight into life and death. And she's also a poet. It was just, it's a really, really moving book and it starts incredibly. And I'm just,
Well, that sounds awesome. On my
I thought
list.
it was going to be a murder mystery. H is for Hawk. I thought
I
it was
know
going
the
to be
title sounds
James
like.
Patterson genre.
What's their name? Anne Grafton or whatever.
Grafton. Warren reads all of those. It's
Really?
amazing. Yeah.
It's weird.
He's like really into old lady murder mysteries, so he also reads a series called The Cat Who Wore Pajamas or
Oh,
something. I don't know, something like
yeah,
Cats in
Lillian
Pajamas.
Braun.
And the lead detective has a mustache. I don't know. It's he ran into a lady at the airport who was reading like the big print version because she's 60, and it was like the third book in the series. And he's like, "Wait, is that a series?" And they had like a 20-minute conversation about the cat.
So yeah, I'm so pleased he's into Lillian Braun. So you get when you guys if you guys come to Madison, there's a little bookstore just around the corner from us. It's called Booked for Murder. And it's just a mystery novels. They only sell mystery novels.
Oh man, I don't know how we missed that the last time. That's awesome.
It's 100% women who go there and 85% lesbians.
Yep, sounds
It's so
good.
cool.
Warren's gonna fit right in.
Well, I we've got some great assignments.
All right, we got some
It's
book reading,
exciting, yeah.
assigned reading. We'll come back that next time. We got to talk about music because there's some great, great selections this week. The theme this week is just stuff we're into right now. And I'm always impressed, Amy. You're probably the hippest both book and music person that we ever have on this show. You're always like wowing us with the really high quality productions. So I want to know what you got to lead us off with.
Right. So the first song that I'm obsessed with is called Conqueror by Aurora. And I think she's Norwegian. I don't know what she is. She's like this little sprite, this little blonde sprite. And the song's just so good. It's just so catchy and great. And I literally listen to it like 5 times in a row whenever I listen to it. Lovely.
The only thing more delightful than that song is I just looked up pictures of her right now, and she's just a tiny, tiny, adorable
Doesn't she look
woman.
like a little
Yeah.
sprite? Yeah, she's just, yeah, and her dancing and her videos is pretty amazing too. So she's great. That whole album is really wonderful. And then the second song I love is something I heard on the car because I can get CBC Radio, the Canadian radio. Do you get that too still in Wisconsin?
Not really. I wish we did.
Okay.
CBC's great.
Yeah, so we just get that driving around. We get French stuff. We get it's awesome. So anyways, I heard this song on it. It's called Spirits by the Strumbellas, and I'd never heard it before, but apparently it's super popular and I thought you guys might like it too. It's got a cool beat, great harmonies, just a fun song.
I
Thanks,
got
CBC.
guns in my head and they won't go. Spirits in my head and they won't go. I got guns in my head and they won't go. Spirits in my head and they won't. Until the day I die, they say, oh, have a good day, young.
both of those songs really upbeat, very positive, like, musical sound, but the voices each were not like, they were like a little ragged, a little character to them that made them not just feel like saccharine. That was, I really right. like both of that. Yeah, it's fun. I need to get more upbeat music. Music makes me feel happy in my life, Dave.
Yeah, what do you got for us tonight, Steele? I know it's going to be sad. It has to be, right?
Yeah, so this one, I've been so into this. I don't know how I found this song or found these musicians, but it's a woman named Adrienne Lenker and a guy named Buck Meek, and the song's called Jonathan.
That's gorgeous.
I just put that one to repeat over and over. And guess which roommate of ours from Awesome City I sent that to and who's now totally obsessed with and listens to it on repeat constantly?
It's Dan Jenajohn. He loves that.
Nailed it.
Hey, that's Spencer, right?
Yeah, Spencer's. Okay. I shared it with Spencer and I saw him at basketball last week and he's like, yeah, I just played it like 20 times a row every night. I really like that song. He's like, he's like the Steve, rain of favorite songs.
I have a song that I want to share that I've played so many times. Steele, you know, I basically like two kinds of songs. One is not really on time, kind of strange vocals, and two is a man singing like a woman. So the first one is actually going to be the kind of off kilter one. So this is by Pine Grove. What'd I pick? New Friends.
There we go. Dave, that sounds like what it would sound like if Colin Molloy made music that I liked. I like it.
Those guys are from New Jersey.
What?
And if you know anything about me, I just have a loathing for New Jersey because I lived there for a long time and I just hated it. But hearing that song makes me feel like something good could have happened in New Jersey.
Yeah, great instrumentation there. It sounds like some kind of Western old-timey picking band a little bit there. I don't know what that was.
A little
nice.
Bit of banjo or something in there.
Yeah. All right, here's the other song I've been obsessed with a little bit lately. There's a band called You Won't. I think you know them, Dave.
Amy, I do.
You into You Won't?
No, I don't know.
They got a new record out, and this is the lead single off. It's called Yeah, Yeah, Yeah. And Spencer's also obsessed with it, and I think he and Emmeline are going to go see this show. We're going to be out of town for a wedding. So these are songs that Spencer and I are obsessed with lately.
That's adorable.
I know.
See, mama was a mess sometimes. Took the keys away and told you you were boring. Well, come sit and talk with me tonight. We can bore each other both until the morning. Sent your little sister screaming down the hallway. Well, I don't know about the afterlife, but I can help you to forget about the old days. Yeah, 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 yeah. Yeah, oh, 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 oh. Yeah, 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 yeah. Yeah, oh. You say your body is a bad punchline. You're sick of looking like a beast after a bombing. Well, baby, take a look at me sometime. Let me lend a little yodel to your yawning. Yeah, 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 yeah.
That's real nice. I like that.
I did too, and I love the... You say your body's like a bad punchline. You're tired of looking like a beach after a bombing. It's like true words about the post-parenting. Never spoken.
Those guys, we saw them a few years ago open for some band, and they were, it's just two guys, and they're pretty crazy. They're weird.
Were they like full costume and revolutionary garb or face painted, or what were they?
No, it looked like Spencer and, you know, Jordan playing in a band together, but they were just... They're just odd ducks. They put on a fun show, though.
Yeah.
I've got one last song, and this is, of course, a man singing very high-pitched, and it's beautiful.
I'm already in love.
No Woman, and they call their band Whitney, of course.
I feel like that song suddenly blossomed there at the chorus and the guitar. Like, I mean, that was kind of sweet there, Dave.
Yeah, those guys, they really get cooking later in the song. Like, listen to the whole thing. It's going to pay off. Don't worry. He never sings not like that, though, the whole time. It's just
Whitney, that's one of the great band names. Do you think they're trying to capitalize on this Whitney Houston post-death nostalgia? People buying that record thinking they're buying like a greatest hits released posthumously, and they're like... What the hell? This doesn't sound like Whitney Houston, but it kind of does.
Such a bad band name. It is awful. I love that song. I wish they had a different name.
Yeah, I'm really into Whitney. You're not going to wear a Whitney, put a Whitney bumper sticker on your car or anything.
No.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks for the... We went 6 for 6 on tunes tonight. Well done, everybody.
Nice.
Book wisdom. Amy, can you close us out?
Yep. So this is actually an excerpt from the book When Beth Becomes Air that I was talking about early by Paul Kelenmeade. I don't know how to pronounce his name. I feel terrible. But anyways, he, as he was dying, they were deciding whether or not they should have a child, even though they knew he was going to die. And they eventually decided that for them, it was the right decision to have a child. And this is the message that he writes to their kid at the end of the book. The message is simple. When you come to one of the many moments in life when you must give an account of yourself, provide a ledger of what you have been and done and meant to the world, do not, I pray, discount that you fill the dying man's days with a state-sated joy, a joy unknown to me in all my prior years, a joy that does not hunger for more and more, but rests satisfied. And this time, right now, that is an enormous thing. I thought that was kind of the perfect way to end a podcast about children. Because despite all those breakdowns, the face plants and all that thing, they really do bring that deep-sated joy. And I read that. I don't think that would have held quite as much meaning if I wasn't holding Felix when I was reading that. And, you know, I just started crying and I was like holding my boy and just thinking, this is what it's all about, right? Like, this is what it is. So I love that book and that closing passage.
That's lovely. It makes me want to read it right away. I think there's something about that, though. I think that there's a lot of experiences that you have in life that make you feel real happy, but you just want more and more and more of them. But there's something for me about, especially the early days of parenthood, like holding my son and feeling like fully content, like that joy that rests satisfied. That's the feeling of being a new parent, I think, and holding your child. I don't know. It's pretty unique.
I just think being a parent enables you to experience so much joy that I didn't have otherwise. It's so beautiful. It seems to intensify almost every emotion and feeling, like the lows and the highs. Everything just intensifies with parenthood, and it's awesome. I don't trust anyone that's not a parent. That's not nice to say. I take that back.
Yeah. Well, on that note, thanks, everybody. Have great evenings.
Yeah.
This is great. Thanks, guys.
Thanks for staying up so late, Amy, and wading through our technical difficulties. And
it just reminds me of the old BYU days, just sitting, you know, awesome city, chatting it up.
Oh, to be young again.
All right, guys. This is great.
Good night.
Does your son still wake up at like 5 a.m. still?
Indeed he does. Dude, lately it's been 4 and 4:30, then he wants the light on, and so we'll stay in the room until 6, and then he can get up and nurse.
4 or 5 years old now, right? And he's nursing at first, correct?
He's actually 13, but yeah, he's still nursing.
Wait, how old is he?
Yeah, he's 13.
Oh, right, yeah.
He's got a light mustache, just kind of a little shady thing.
It's a milk mustache most mornings, though.